Dearly respected friends, we extend to each of you a very warm welcome to our public address this evening, which is to the title Britain in Bible Prophecy. Simeon has requested that we read together the first 16 verses of the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. And so that reading serves to introduce the remarks of our speaker this evening, my friend and brother in Christ, Mr. Simeon Hunter, who is now going to address us to the title Britain in Bible Prophecy.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My dearly respected friends, we thank you for giving of your time to come and see what the Bible has to say about Britain. And what we're going to see, my dear friends, is Britain is indeed spoken of quite a bit in the Bible, and we're going to show a number of things about the past, Britain in the past, Britain in the present, and Britain in the future. And as we read that reading this evening in Ezekiel chapter 38, you might say, well, it doesn't mention Britain. Well, friends, we believe it does. We believe it mentions Britain in verse 13. We believe that it talks about the merchants of Tarshish. And Tarshish there, we believe, is referring to Britain. And in this battle that's being spoken of here, it's a battle that is centred on the land of Israel. It's a battle in which a group of nations, a company, as it's described, and if you have a look at the meaning behind that idea of company, it's a religious gathering of nations that is going to gather together and come against the land of Israel. And they're going to come for economic reasons, verse 12, to take a spoil and to take a prey. And they're going to be opposed by another group of nations, in verse 13, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, with the young lions thereof. So the progeny of the older lion, as in the merchants of Tarshish being the older lion. So you've got a group of nations that are opposing this great company of nations that's spoken of in the first part of the chapter. We're told also concerning these things that it would take place in the latter days. And that's our days, friends. And we're told also that God would be sanctified, the last words that we read, God would be sanctified in the events that would take place. And what we didn't read was the destruction, the judgment that was going to come upon that group of nations as they come against God's land of Israel. You know, God says that in his fury, he will come up in his face in verse 18 when they come against that land. Because to touch Israel is to touch the apple of God's eye. And it's going to bring furious judgment by Almighty God. And so ultimately, out of that, verse 23, God said that he will be known, he'll be sanctified and known in the eyes of many nations, and they'll come to know Almighty God. And that's the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And what these events talk about is that as these groups of nations come in battle together, the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are his followers who have been gathered, who will by that point have been gathered to him, will intervene, bring judgment upon them and establish the kingdom of God. And so, friends, what we're being shown is events that would take place at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth, gathers those who have identified with him and establishes a kingdom upon the earth, the kingdom of God, which will last forever. So, friends, it behoves us to understand these things because we want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of that kingdom that he's going to establish out of these things. So these are very important things to understand, of course. So, as we said, Britain, the subject that we're going to look at is, we believe it's referred to by Tarshish there in verse 13. And we're going to spend a bit of time showing that as we show through what the Bible says about Britain, or some of what the Bible says about Britain. There's actually a lot more which we just don't have time to cover. So, as we said, Britain, we believe, is referred to under its ancient name of Tarshish in the Bible. And in actual fact, there are two places with the name of Tarshish in the Bible. We believe there's a Western Tarshish, and that's Britain. And we believe that there's an Eastern Tarshish, and that is India. Now, if you go to those passages in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you will see that the people going to Tarshish from in those passages went from Ezion-Geber, and that is Eilat on the tip of the Red Sea on the very southern border of Israel. And that would take you out into the Indian Ocean. It would take you out towards India. If you wanted to go to, say, Britain from there, you would have to then go down the bottom and underneath Africa. And as we know, in ancient times, the world wasn't that big. If you decided to head down that way, you would fall off the world and never be seen again, because they believed the world was flat and people that went down there were never seen again. That was their understanding. We know that's not the case, but that's the facts. The other thing is you will find from those passages is the products they obtained there. Apes, peacocks, ivory, all Indian things. And so we get a clear indication that there's an Eastern Tarshish and it's India. But we're going to concern ourselves with the Western Tarshish that's spoken of in the Bible. We want to come to begin our considerations to Genesis chapter 10, because we want to read the first occasion in which Tarshish is mentioned in the Bible. And we're also going to see that many of the nations that are spoken of in Ezekiel 38 there are also mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. And that's a very significant thing. And we're going to see why as we make our way through our consideration this evening. We're going to see why that is a significant thing. You want to come to Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 2 through to verse 5. And we're going to read about the son. You see, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that by those sons, the general whole world was actually divided up into their families from those three sons. The Shem meant the Semitic people, the Jews and the Arabs. The Japhethites were the European people, and probably us in Australia, because we virtually came from Europe. The Hamites were the Egyptians, African people, and so forth. All right, so let's just read verse 2. And the sons of Japheth, Gomer, that was in Ezekiel 38, Magog, that was in Ezekiel 38, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, that was in Ezekiel 38, and Meshech, that was in Ezekiel 38. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarma, and that was in Ezekiel 38. And then it says, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish. And there's our Tarshish. Kittim and Dodanim. And then we want to read very carefully what it says in the next verse. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands. And so what we're seeing here is, here was the islands of the Gentiles, the islands of the nations. And so we get the first point we want to make is that here is a nation that is associated with islands. And if you go through the Bible, you will find that a number of times, in actual fact, to just make this point, the word Tarshish occurs, I think, 28 or 29 times in the Bible and in 24 different verses, all right? So when we say that Tarshish is associated with islands on five occasions, that is a significant number of times in which Tarshish is associated with islands. Perhaps one of those you could say is probably not directly associating it. That is this one here, Passover to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle, because that's talking about the Isle of Tyrus, if my memory is correct. But anyway, there's associated with islands. We saw that in Genesis chapter 10. In Psalm 72, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles, it's grouping them with the islands. It's great. And Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 19, they're described as the islands that are afar off. And there is Tarshish associated with islands, and a goodly number of times throughout the Bible. So we have the first point that we want to make is that it's a noted as being amongst the islands. The next point we want to make, and we want to come to Jonah chapter 1 for our next point, is that in actual fact it was a far-off land, and it was a land that Jonah chose to go to get as far away from God as he could. Now that's a significant point. Now if we think about the world as it was known back then, well, even today people dispute whether the world back then, whether they even thought it went beyond the Pillars of Hercules, beyond the Mediterranean Sea. But as history will tell us, it indeed did, and indeed the nation did work beyond those places. So it was a faraway land in ancient times, and it was accessed by ship via the Mediterranean. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, we're told in that section, is that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he rose up to flee to Tarshish. Now, why did he do that? Well, it's very interesting. If you have a look at what he said there in Jonah chapter 1, you see, God wanted Jonah, who was down here in the land of Israel, he wanted him to go over to Nineveh, over in the east, and preach the gospel. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to the very haters of Israel, the enemies of Israel. And Jonah said, I don't want to do that. So he decided that he would flee from the presence of God. Now, if you were told to go east and do a job, and you wanted to not do that job, well, I guess you'd probably say, well, let's go west, all right? And I'm trying to pull that up because that's what we want, all right? So Jonah, we're told, he went to Joppa, and there it is, there's Joppa, well, on the west coast of the land of Israel, on the borders of the Mediterranean. And he got on a ship to go to Tarshish that he might flee from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get as far away as possible. And in that known world, Tarshish was as far away as possible. It's a very interesting thing, you know. They didn't have the navigation equipment was probably more advanced than we think back then. But you know, when you go around this round through here and make your way north, you can very easily come into that little groove in there. You know what's in there? Cornwall. Now just put that one away because that's very interesting, because that in fact was the place where they were coming and going from these ships. They were coming and going from that very place. And it was the logical place. You would almost logically fall into that place as you took your way around. You see how the land is actually, how it's actually organized there, that your ship would either go, you know, you could naturally go into that little harbor. So it's a very interesting thing. And there was Jonah going to Tarshish. Now, Herodotus tells us that Tarshish was beyond the Pillars of Hercules, the Straits of Gibraltar. And so he got on a ship to go to Tarshish. Now, that's another very interesting thing, friends, because if you go through the Bible, a Bible search, and you put in ships and Tarshish, and you will find, now if my memory is correct, that's 12 occasions out of 24 verses that the word Tarshish occurs. 12 times they're associated with ships. The ships of Tarshish. In 1 Kings 10 and verse 22, it's actually talking about the eastern Tarshish, but it was a navy of Tarshish. And so all is associated with ships time and time and time again. And no matter whether it's the eastern or western, it's associated with ships. And if you wanted to go to Tarshish, you went on a ship. There's no record in the Bible of anyone ever going to Tarshish except on a ship. Why is that? Because it's amongst the isles of the Gentiles. And so what we've seen is, we've seen here that here was a nation that was an island nation. It was as far away as you could get in ancient times. It was obtained by going from the Mediterranean Sea. And as Herodotus suggests, well, we're going to find that out, it was beyond the Pillars of Hercules. So, I want to come to Ezekiel chapter 27, because this is a very interesting little verse in Ezekiel chapter 27, which is going to tell us a lot about who this Tarshish nation is. Ezekiel chapter 27, and we want to just pick up verse 12 of Ezekiel 27. And this is a prophecy concerning Tyre. Now, we just come back here. Here was Tyre on the sea coast of Israel. It was originally an island, a little island on the coast. It's now become part of the mainland because it's silted up, because Alexander the Great made a causeway out there, and over the years it's silted up. It's now part of the mainland. All right? But nevertheless, that's Tyre. We'll just make our way back. Okay, so let's have a look at what Ezekiel chapter 27 and verse 12 says. Tarshish was thy merchant. There's another key word. They're a merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches. So he was Tyre's merchant or trading partner by reason of all kinds of riches. So what were they bringing? With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they traded in thy fairs. And so here we're seeing that Tarshish would trade with Tyre in these materials. Now that's interesting, friends, because let's have a look at what the Recyclopedia, which says this metal concerning, and we're actually talking concerning the tin. He says that this metal, called kasiteros by the Greeks, and to which Aristotle has applied the epithet kelikon, indicates plainly the country from which it was procured. In the Syriac language, it was varitanic or baritanic, and it signifies land of tin, from which the name Britain is supposed to be derived. So what he's suggesting is that Britain is derived from the word baritanic. Wikipedia says, historically, extensive tin and copper mining has occurred in Devon and Cornwall, as well as arsenic, silver, and other metals. And have a look at Ezekiel 27, and you'll see there silver, iron, tin, and lead. And so tin was mined from that area. Now, that's interesting, but it's not proof, is it? You know, let's just have a look. Here's these tin mines. As we said, there's Cornwall. In this area, there's Isle of Man had them, Scilly Islands had them, and here's some of these ancient tin mines, which were there in ancient times. You know, that's all interesting. But you know, friends, in 2019, they started using science, modern science, and they came up with something really interesting. Now this becomes proof, friends. You see, what they found is using radioisotopes, they managed to find, and here's some tin ingots that actually sunk to the bottom of the sea right on the coast of Israel. And they took them and they analysed them with radioisotope analysis, and they found that they came from Cornwall. They came from Cornwall. And here they were in the ocean, shipwrecked just off the coast of Israel. And they've been in the ocean for thousands of years. And when they analysed them, they found that they came from mines in Cornwall. And they can do that by going to Cornwall, getting the tin that's there, and examining its properties. Because no metal, particularly back then, would be exactly pure. And so they could prove that that tin came from Cornwall. And you know something? Have a look at this word. Unexpected Cornish link. And I'm going to suggest to you, friends, it was unexpected to them. It was unexpected to any person that was not a Bible student and did not understand Ezekiel chapter 27. It's been proved that that's where it came from, exactly as what the Bible tells us. Now, here's another one taken from the times of Israel. Same idea, all right? Breakthrough study. Ancient tin ingots found in Israel were mined in England. And here they're talking about the Bronze Age. And here's the bronze In order to get bronze, they needed tin. And they knew where 7 out of the 8 metals came from, but because they didn't accept the Bible as an authority, they couldn't work out where the tin came from. And all of a sudden, when they did this research, they found it came from Britain. It came from Britain. Exactly as the Bible said, identifying Britain as the source and taking us straight to Ezekiel chapter 27 and showing us that indeed that Tarshish is Britain. And so not only does Britain have tin mines, they've also got iron mines. And here's the Clearwell Caves in Britain, which was an iron mining museum. And it goes back many thousand years somewhere there. And here they were mining tin from way back in history. That's, you can actually go and do a tour of this particular cave and see these and see how they did this mining back in ancient history. And so there is the source of these tin, and sorry, this one's iron, tin and iron. And so once again we see it directing us to Ezekiel chapter 27 and showing us that here was the source of these things. So they were digging these things up. What were they digging them up for? Well, exactly the same reason as up there in up north in the Pilbara, the Rio Tinto and Fortescue Metals and so on and so forth, and BHP are digging up iron ore and putting it on ships because they're merchants. They're selling it. They want to make money. They're all interested in making money. And it's all about getting themselves rich. And it's all about lining their pockets. And this is an emphasis that we're going to see in Britain. It's a nation that's all about getting wealth. It's all about merchandise. It's all about making money. And see, in this reference, Tarshish was like merchants. In Ezekiel 38, we read, the merchants of Tarshish. There's an emphasis on this trading nation that's into making money. And that's the emphasis of this nation. So we get another little key point in relation to this nation. It's a merchant trading nation, trading in tin, iron, silver, among other things, as we saw in Ezekiel chapter 27. So we see a number of key points that are all very, very clearly directing us to the nation of Britain. So I want to now come to our reading in Ezekiel chapter 38. Because what we're going to see, friends, is developments that are happening in our day. And developments that are happening in our day in relation to Britain. We're going to see how this verse in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 13 is telling us very much who Britain would be involved with at the time of Armageddon. In the latter days, as we're told these days are in verse 16. And who they wouldn't be involved with. And that's, we're going to see that as well. So what we see is in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, that is the aggressor that will come into the land of Israel, will say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? See what they're concerned about? You're taking away all the wealth. They're a merchant power. They're very concerned about these things. And so here they are. They're concerned about the economics. They're concerned about their profit. And so what we're seeing here is this nation now is going to be opposed to the group of nations that we read of in the first couple of verses. Now, if you just cast your eyes back to verse 2, we're going to see the head of that group of nations that comes against the land of Israel. We have it in verse 2, son of man, set thy face against Gog. Now, Gog means the one at the top. He's the chief of this group of nations. Gog, the land of Magog, that was, we saw in Genesis 10, the chief prince. Now, there, where it says chief or chief prince, that's actually a proper noun, rosh. It's actually the Hebrew word rosh. Okay, it means the head. And it actually is the most ancient form under which Russia is known. And so it's talking about a group of nations under the influence of Russia. And involving with them is Magog, and that's Europe. Goma, that's the French sort of people. And so here we've got all the relatives of Tarshish, if you like, from Genesis 10, the natural friends of Tarshish, but Tarshish is not involved with them. Now that's very interesting, friends, because it's not that long ago that Tarshish was involved with them, that Britain was involved in the European Union, but they've actually been caused to come out of it. And so what we're seeing here is that here is a group of nations that Britain would be opposed to instead of involved with. And we as Christadelphians have been saying for many years that Britain will no longer be involved in Europe. They'll take themselves out. And that's what's happened. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But and what we're seeing here is that here is Britain as a friend of Israel. And we're going to show how that is the case. And let's just put up an overhead, which gives us an idea of where these nations are that are in Ezekiel 38. So in blue, we've got the nations there of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. You've got, that's the Russian area. You've got Magog, Eastern Europe, Goma, Western Europe, Tagama, this area of Georgia and the Turkmenistan and all those sort of areas above Iran. You've got down here Iran, probably Iraq. You've got Ethiopia down here, area of Ethiopia / Sudan. Libya just happens to be Libya. And here's this group of nations. They're going to come against the land of Israel. And they're going to be opposed by the Arab peoples of Sheba and Dedan, which is Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, this sort of area, and Tarshish, and the young lions of Tarshish. Now let's have a look and see what all this is all about. So what we're seeing here is a European Russian confederacy or company of nations opposed to Britain. That's what the Bible says. Not that long ago, Britain was involved economically with Europe in a very big way. And we as Christadelphians says, well, the Bible says that can't be the case. That can't be the case. Although it was the natural tendency because they are family, there's going to be a falling out. And that's been the case, friends, has it not? And I suspect that's going to get worse. So let's have a look. So let's just summarise what we've seen in this particular verse. This is what verse 13 requires. Britain to be allied with its progeny nations, the young lions. They're the nations that have grown out of Britain. And because they're the young lions thereof. And we'll show you what this that terminology indicates in a moment. They're going to be opposed to Europe and Russia. And they're going to be allied to Sheba and Dedan and Israel. So the Arabs and Israel, that's who they're going to be allied to. And so we're just going to summarise. This is where we're at. We've looked at their origins. We've seen how their islands of the Gentiles, faraway nation, trading nation, and we've looked at all these allies that are spoken of, all right? Now, I want to just now highlight this little point here. They're going to be involved with Israel. And you know, friends, it's not that long ago, before I was born, well and truly, but not before my parents were born. Israel was not a nation. Israel did not exist as a nation. A little bit before my parents were born, Britain got themselves involved with Israel. All of a sudden became friends of the development of Israel. It was Britain that established the Balfour Declaration, which viewed with favour the establishment of a homeland for the Jews. That was one of the outcomes of World War I. And the Balfour Declaration was subsequently included in the British mandate over Palestine, which formally approved by the League of Nations in 1922. Now, just if you don't know what the League of Nations is, the League of Nations was the precursor to the United Nations. It was set up after World War I to prevent World War. It failed, of course. World War II came, and so they could no longer have the League of Nations, so they said, we'll start the United Nations. And of course, that's going to fail too, isn't it? because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring peace. But the point we have here is that here is Britain becoming involved and having close ties with Israel. And there's perhaps the beginnings of that. And we put that up just to indicate that, to show that beginnings of that relationship. It's not always been plain sailing, that relationship, we might say. But ultimately, Britain's relationship with Israel is only getting stronger as we speak. So that's the first point, Britain and Israel. The second point is, now who are the young lions? Well, in actual fact, that's not hard to actually show. You know, when an old lion has cubs, they have young lions, don't they? And young lions are the offspring of the old lion. And here were the posters that were put up during the world wars. Here's the mother lion calling the young lions, okay? Helped by the young lions, the old lion defies his foes. And here it is. Here's the old lion, Britain. Here's the young lions, Australia, Canada, India, New Zealand, the Commonwealth nations, the nations that were formed out of Britain. You can look at the other one over here and you see South Africa, Canada, New Zealand, India. I can't quite read that one, all right? But you get this one down here, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, India. And here they are, the young lions. And so we see who those young lions are. The islands of the world, are they not? Very much involved with Britain. And so we see that's perhaps we could say the Commonwealth nations that are under the wings of Britain. And so the next point we wanted to look at is this idea of them being merchants and the idea of Britain being a merchant, as it's described in Ezekiel 38, that it means to go about in trade. And that's what Britain is all about. And it was originally the British East India Company, which existed for hundreds of years. And it was a shipping company, surprise, surprise, that went round trading in merchandise and making Britain money and India money. And it was disbanded in 1873 and gave way to the Commonwealth nations, which is all about an economic pact to make money. You see, it's all about merchandise, isn't it? But we have a look in Ezekiel 38. In actual fact, I mentioned first amongst those nations is Sheba and Dedan. And we believe that's the Arab nations, but particularly the areas of Oman and Yemen and involving Saudi Arabia in that area of the Persian Gulf. And it's interesting, Dedan is a reference to Oman, Saudi Arabia, and the Gulf states, and it's quite interesting, friends, that for many years Oman has been allied to Britain since 1750. Israel and Oman established unofficial trade relations in 1994. Economic cooperation between the two countries, though not significant, helped Oman become a bridge between the Arab world and Israel. And it's very interesting that out of all these things, the Arab world, the moderate Arab world, Saudi Arabia and various of those countries in that area, are becoming very more interested and very more tolerant of Israel. And this is all to do with this verse in prophecy, friends, because those nations have to be with Britain and they have to be supporting Israel when Russia comes down upon the mountains of Israel in the near future, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to destroy those nations and establish the kingdom of God. And what are they going to do it for? Not because they've got any virtue, but because it suits their economic and their selfish means. That's what we're seeing in those verses. That's what it's telling us. Saudi Arabia. Well, the United Kingdom and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia have long been close allies. It began in 1915 with the Treaty of Dharan, and the relationship is heavily concentrated on security. There's a very big economic reason involved in that. Well, Sheba is perhaps a little bit of a different story. Now, Sheba is the southern tip of that peninsula there. You might be able to pick that up from this little spot on there. on the overhead there. You know, this is taking us into the Red Sea here, all right? And so this is a little tip down here, south of Saudi Arabia and so forth. So it's giving you access to the Red Sea. And this area of Yemen is actually a hotspot of the world. You know, Saudi Arabia is actually at war with Yemen. There's a war going on, and Britain is supporting Saudi Arabia in that area. And the result is that obviously they're not particularly good allies at the moment. But in actual fact, there is in recent weeks been a ceasefire in that situation. But Saudi Arabia is copping rocket fire into their cities from the Hutu rebels, I think they are, in Yemen at the moment. What we believe is ultimately going to happen is that area is going to come under British, probably British control, and as a result, this whole area will be supporting Israel in the Battle of Armageddon. So there's a little work to be done there in relation to that. But what we're seeing, friends, is things moving in that direction very much so. So what we're seeing, friends, is Britain developing exactly as this particular verse is expecting us. You know, friends, you go back to 2015, Britain was in the European Union. That's opposed to Ezekiel 38. And the popular view of the polls was that they would not leave. And we know that was the case because when the vote came for Brexit on the 23rd of June, the champion of Brexit, Nigel Farage, this is what he said. He says it's been an extraordinary referendum campaign. Turnout looks to be exceptionally high, and it looks like Remain will edge it out. And that's what he said. He said, we're going to lose this. Next day, we got up and the papers of the world said the final outcome. Interesting how you can spell things sometimes. The final outcome of the referendum was 51.9% want to leave and only 48.1% want to stay. And in it's interesting, isn't it, friends, that in democracy, that's a landslide. So the majority want to leave. So now Britain's going to leave. You know, this is what our newspapers said. This is the Sydney Morning Herald. It said, nature conspired to give a last-minute boost to the campaign for Britain to leave the European Union. You know, the massive storms that meant the people who wanted to leave were able to vote. And the people who didn't want to leave couldn't vote. It was very difficult for them to get out and vote. Massive storms. Nature? No. It's the person who wrote this chapter, God. He's in control of the nations, and they can do what they like, but it will come to pass as he says. And so Ezekiel 38 is coming into place because of a storm that came across that nation, came across the nation of Britain, exactly when that vote was taking place. It's Almighty God at work. You know, just we've been talking about and emphasizing the merchant idea. Forbes wrote an article about a week later, and he says three reasons Britain left the European Union. Guess what number one is? Economics. Concern for the dysfunctional economic entity of the EU. You know, Britain's getting ripped off. We're giving them money. They're not giving us money. We can make more money. It's all about us making money. There were other reasons, sovereignty, part of the worldwide rise of nationalism, which is all to do with what Ezekiel 38 is going to produce, or what's going to come to pass in Ezekiel 38, world war and political elitism, which is what's gripping the world at large at the moment, isn't it, friends? Contempt that's been shown by the leaders of the nations. So all of these things, friends, are leading us to Ezekiel 38, to Armageddon, to the Lord Jesus Christ returning and establishing the kingdom of God. What we're seeing, friends, is God is working in the nations. And it's coming to pass exactly as we've been told. Now, friends, I want to show you something amazing. Because what we've looked at, friends, is we've seen Britain as an island nation with lots of ships dedicated to their own merchandise to make themselves rich. Well, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they're going to have ships, they're going to have merchandise, but what are they going to do with it? Well, I want to show you three passages. I think this is amazing, friends. I want to come to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 9. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, unto the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. You know, this is a chapter that's actually, it's written to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And it's written to Jerusalem, and it's talking about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is king, reigning in Jerusalem. And he's saying, the ships of Tarshish, they'll still be there, but they won't be used for serving themselves. They'll be used for bringing the sons of God, the sons of Jerusalem, the Jewish people from all the nations of the world in which they're scattered at the moment, bringing them back to Israel, to the land of Israel. They'll be put to good purpose, to advancing the purpose of God in that day. And what are they going to do with their silver and their gold? They're going to bring it, and they're going to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ that he might beautify his temple with it. And that's what we read about in those verses. You might just pick up the verse 5, towards the end of that verse, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. You have a look in your margin, it's the wealth. There's the wealth of the Gentiles. And again in verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day and night, that men shall bring unto thee the wealth, margin, that's what your margin says, of the Gentiles. That's what the Hebrew actually indicates by that word forces. The wealth of the Gentiles. And here's Britain. They're not using their merchandise now to make themselves rich. They're using their merchandise now to make the things of God, to build up the things of Almighty God in Jerusalem, the capital of the kingdom of God. I'll show you another one. Let's go to Psalm 72. So I think this is amazing, friends, because you know what? There's going to be some huge changes amongst this nation. Psalm 72, verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgments. The establishment of the kingdom of God. All right, let's have a look at the extent of the dominion of that kingdom. Verse 8, he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. That's the dominion that's promised to Abraham in Genesis 15. That's the establishment of the kingdom of God. That's the extent of the kingdom of Israel when the Lord Jesus Christ is king. And there it is. That's that kingdom. Now let's read what verse 10 says. And the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. And here they are bringing presents. Here's their merchandise used to worship and honour God and his king, the Lord Jesus Christ, established in Jerusalem. You see how it's changed? They're no longer serving themselves. They're serving Almighty God. Let's come to the last one, Isaiah chapter 23. And verse 18, Isaiah 23 and verse 18. Isaiah 23 is an iconic chapter about Tarshish, and we haven't really had time to spend time on it. But let's just read the last verse of that chapter. And her merchandise and her holiness, and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured or laid up. They're not going to take it home to London and put it in their bank. They're going to give it to the service of God. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. And there it is, given to the service of God. And you know, friends, I think that's quite remarkable. Because we've read throughout as we considered our considerations of the nation of Britain, is that they're a nation that's associated with ships. Let them build as many ships as they like, because they're going to be used to bring the Jewish people back to the land of Israel in the kingdom of God. Their merchandise. They're very interested in merchandise. It's going to end up in Jerusalem, honoring God. And so, friends, there's going to be a great change that's going to come upon that nation in the meantime. We've skipped a big thing, event that's got to take place. It's the humbling of that nation. And the Psalms tells us about God breaking the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. There's judgment that's going to come upon them. It's going to humble them and cause them to put their resources at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ in that day. So there's a big change that's got to take place. But friends, what we've seen is the Bible's very clear who Britain is. It's Tarshish. And the Bible has laid out a plan for Britain, and Britain thinks they're making their own decisions. They thought they'd make their own decisions. They'd get the people to have a vote on whether they'd be in Europe or not. And God made sure it went in the right direction, didn't he? And ultimately, that purpose is going to lead to them opposed to Russia as Russia comes upon the mountains of Israel. And it's going to lead them to placing their resources at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Friends, plan and purpose of God is clear. The choice for us is who are we going to be with when all this happens? Because that will determine our destiny.